بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فهذا درس آخر من الدروس المهمة لعامة الأمة ألا وهو التحذير من الشرك وأنواع المعاصي كما يجب على عامة المسلمين الاهتمام بالطاعات ومعرفة أولويات الطاعات من أن التوحيد أعظم الطاعات ويليه الصلاة ثم الزكاة وهكذا فكذلك في الجهة الأخرى يجب على المسلم أن يعلم ما يحذر منه من الشرك وأنواع المعاصي من المنهيات وأن أعظم المعاصي وأعظم الظلم وأعظم الفساد على الإطلاق هو الشرك ويليه سائر المعاصي وعلى رأسها الكبائر كالسحر وقتل النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق وأكل الربا وأكل مال اليتيم والتولي يوم الزحف وقذف المحصنات الغافلات المؤمنات ومن ذلك أيضا عقوق الوالدين وقطيعة الأرحام وشهادة الزور والأيمان الكاذبة وإيذاء الجيران وظلم الناس في الدماء والأموال والأعراض وشرب المسكر شرب الخمر وما شابهها من المسكرات ولعب الميسر القمار والغيبة والنميمة وغير ذلك مما نهى الله عنه أو نهى عنه رسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه فهذا أمر في غاية الأهمية كما يجب علينا معرفة الطاعات وأولويات الطاعات يجب علينا معرفة المعاصي وما هي أعظم المعاصي ثم الكبائر وما هي أعظم الكبائر ثم الذنوب التي تلي ذلك مع التنبيه على أنه ليس في حق الله عز وجل ذنب صغير فالصغير في جنب الله كبير وإنما هو أمر نسبي إضافي أي هذا الذنب صغير بالنسبة إلى هذا الذنب وهذا الذنب كبير بالنسبة إلى هذا الذنب وإلا فمعصية الله عز وجل لا صغير فيها نسأل الله جل في علاه أن يعيننا على إصلاح نفوسنا وتهذيبها وأن يوفقنا لاجتناب المعاصي ما كبر منها وما صغر ما قل منها وما كثر
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد الشيخ أبو حاتم جزاه الله خيرا إخواني he began by praising Allah and sending the peace and the salutations upon our Prophet and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, now from the lessons that we're going to take from the important lessons that are important to the general population from amongst the Muslims is the lesson of warning against and being aware of the evils of shirk and the evils of the different types of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, just as it is an obligation upon every Muslim from the general Muslims that they should concern themselves with knowing about the different types and the different forms of obedience, the different types of ta'at, and they should preoccupy themselves with coming to know which of the obediences to Allah deserve to be given priority and precedence over others. Just as that is the case, it is also an obligation and incumbent upon them to know that the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest ta'at from the ta'at. And then after the Tawheed of Allah, the Salat. And then after the Salat, the Zakat, and like this, on and on and on. And from the other angle and the other side, as he should know, the ta'at and the awliyat, the priority of the ta'at, he should also know that it is an obligation upon him to know and to have knowledge about what he should avoid and what he should stay away from. For an example, the issue of shirk or polytheism and disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. And you should know that the greatest form of disobedience to Allah is the shirk, ascribing partners with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And then after shirk, there comes the other forms and examples of disobedience, and they are many. From them, magic, murdering the person who does not deserve to be murdered, usury, devouring the money of the orphan, running away from the battlefield when the Muslims engage the kuffar in battle, falsely accusing, chaste, believing women of what they did not do, being disobedient to one's parents, disconnecting the ties of relationship, bearing false witness, swearing, and being untruthful when you swear. Also, in addition to that, the haq of the neighbor and not giving it to him. Instead of giving him his haq, you annoy him and you make the adat of your neighbor. Also, oppressing people, oppressing them in their monies, oppressing them in their blood, oppressing them in their honor, drinking khamr and intoxicants and all forms of narcotics or intoxicants that are similar to khamr, gambling, backbiting, making namima, and other than that, from the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have prohibited us from. This issue is an extremely important issue for all of us to recognize and to consider. So the person has to know and he has to come to educate himself about the different aspects and the different types of obediences to Allah, the ta'at. And that is not enough. He has to also come to know and understand which forms of obedience should be given priority. And as we said, similarly, he has to know the different types of disobediences. He has to know the big ones from amongst them. He has to know especially the kada'ir. And he has to know that the greatest of these issues from the sins is to make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh said, it should be mentioned and a point should be made concerning the issue of the kada'ir and the saga'ir. He wanted to make this point. He said, when I mention a sin is from the kada'ir or the saga'ir, you should understand, as it relates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no sin is small. No sin is small as it relates to Allah. The issue of a sin being a major sin or a minor sin is a relative term, and it is relative to the sin itself. As it relates to the sin, and the sin to Allah, all of that is major, nothing is small, as it relates to Allah. But the sin itself, in relationship to the sin, in comparison to the other sin, it may be from the major sins or the minor sins as it relates to the sin itself. So he said it is amr nisbi, as it relates to the sin, not as it relates to Allah. But as it relates to Allah Azza wa Jal, the sin is a serious issue. And then he began to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the success to make the islah of our nafus, and also to give us the tawfiq that we are successful and capable of doing the ta'at and staying away from the ma'asi, all of them. Whether the disobedience is from the major disobedience or the minor disobedience, and whether they are many in number or they are few in number.
التحذير من الشرك ينبغي أن يكون أولى الأمور التي يهتم بها المسلم الحذر والتحذير من الشرك، ويحذر في نفسه ويحذر غيره. أولى الأمور التي يهتم بها المسلم في مسألة المنهيات، وكثير من المسلمين لا يزنون الأمور بميزان الشرع، وإنما يزنون الأمور بميزان العرف أو بميزان الهوى، يزنون الأمور بموازين غير شرعية. فكثير من المسلمين لا يعرفون خطورة الشرك، وأن الشرك أعظم الظلم على الإطلاق، وأن الشرك أكبر الكبائر. وحتى أبين خطورة الأمر أضرب مثالا، أضرب مثالا لنتصور به خطورة الأمر. كثير من المسلمين لو سألته أي الذنبين أعظم، أن يقول رجل يا رسول الله أغثني، أو أن يزني الرجل، أي الذنبين أعظم؟ الذي يقول يا رسول الله يطلب الغوث والمدد ويطلب الإعانة من النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، هذا ذنبه أعظم أم الذي يزني؟ ولا شك أن الذنبين كبيران، كلاهما كبير، ولكن نحن الآن كما قلنا إذا كانت المقارنة بين ذنوب كبائر وصغائر، فالكبائر نفسها أيضا تتفاوت، ليست سواء، فبعضها أكبر من بعض وبعضها دون بعض. والذنوب كما قلنا في حق الله ينبغي أن تعظم، فذنب في جنب الله ليس أمرا سهلا، ليس أمرا هينا أن يذنب الإنسان أن يعصي ربه، سواء كانت المعصية من الصغائر أو من الكبائر. عندما تتكلم عن معصية الله تتصور من الذي عصي، لا كيف عصيته. عندما تريد أن تفهم عظم المعاصي وأن المعاصي أمر كبير، من الذي عصيته؟ ليس بأي شيء عصيته، وإنما أنت عصيت من؟ أنت عصيت رب السماوات والأرض، عصيت ربك الذي خلقك، الذي خلقك فسواك فعدلك، الذي لولاه ما تستطيع أن تتحرك، ولا تستطيع أن تذهب، ولا تستطيع أن تأتي، ولا تستطيع أن تأكل، ولا تستطيع أن تشرب، ولا تستطيع أن تخرج حتى فضلاتك، لا تستطيع أن تتبول، لا تستطيع أن تتبرز. هناك أناس الآن يعانون من البول، لا يستطيع أن يخرج بوله، فيخرجون له ما في دمه من الأذى بغسيل دمائه، يغسلون له الدماء كثير من الناس الآن يعانون من الفشل الكلوي، لا يستطيعون البول، الكلى فسدت لا تخرج البول، لا تخرج السموم من الجسم. فهؤلاء لما فقدوا هذه النعمة عرفوا قيمتها، فأصبحوا يذهبون إلى المستشفى مرة ومرتين في الأسبوع لغسيل الكلى. الشاهد أن كل هذه النعم التي نتمتع بها هي من الله سبحانه وتعالى، وما بكم من نعمة فمن الله، ثم إذا مسكم الضر فإليه تجأرون. لا نعرف قيمة النعمة إلا إذا افتقدناها. فالذي يفقد النعمة يعرف قيمتها، الذي يفقد نعمة البصر يعرف قيمة نعمة البصر، الذي يعرف يفقد نعمة النطق يعرف قيمة نعمة النطق، الذي يفقد نعمة السمع يعرف قيمة نعمة السمع. أما نحن لأننا نرى ونتكلم ونسمع فلا نعرف قيمة هذه النعم، فنسأل الله عز وجل أن يديمها علينا وأن يرزقنا شكرها. لئن شكرتم لأزيدنكم ولئن كفرتم إن عذابي لشديد، كما يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى. فالذنب في جنب الله عظيم لأن الله عظيم، أنت عصيت العظيم إذن الذنب عظيم لأنك عصيت العظيم، ليست المشكلة عصيته بهذا الذنب أو بذاك، إنما كما قلنا عصيت العظيم فوقعت في عظيم، هذا هو مربط الفرس أو هو الذي عليه مدار فهم المسألة. فالشاهد أننا عندما نقول هناك كبائر هناك صغائر، ثم نعود ونقول الكبائر نفسها ليست سواء، نعم، لكن كل هذه الذنوب عظيمة لأنها يعصى بها العظيم جل في علاه. فالآن نحن في مقارنة بين الشرك والزنا، بين الشرك وشرب الخمر، بين الشرك والربا، الربا عظيم ومن الكبائر بل من أكبر الكبائر، كذلك الزنا من أكبر الكبائر، شرب الخمر من أكبر الكبائر، لكن هل هذا أعظم أم من يدعو رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ويطلب منه الغوث؟ هذا أعظم أم من يدعو عيسى عليه السلام ويطلب منه الشفاء؟ هذا أعظم أم من يدعو الحسين رضي الله عنه ويطلب منه العون ويطلب منه أن يعني يعطيه كذا أو أن يوفقه في كذا أو أن يرزقه الولد أو أن يتسبب في كذا وكذا من الخير أو أن يدفع عنه كذا وكذا من الشر؟ هذا أعظم أم هذا أعظم؟ دعاء غير الله ولو كان المدعو جبريل، ولو كان المدعو رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولو كان المدعو عيسى عليه السلام، يعني الله عز وجل، الله سبحانه وتعالى أعظم من كل هؤلاء. فمحمد صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وإن كان عندنا معظما لكنه ليس إلها مع الله، وليس ربا مع الله، وليس ندا لله، وليس شريكا لله سبحانه وتعالى في شيء. فدعاءه إذا قلت يا رسول الله المدد، يا رسول الله أغثني، يا عيسى اشفني، يا حسين افعل لي كذا وكذا، يا علي اعطني كذا وكذا، يسر لي كذا وكذا، الذي يقول يا فلان يا فلان يدعوه ويرجوه ويسأله، هذا أعظم ذنبا من الزاني، وأعظم ذنبا من السارق، وأعظم ذنبا من تارك من شارب الخمر، وأعظم ذنبا من تارك الصلاة، مع أنه سيأتي أيضا أن ترك الصلاة أعظم من الزنا ومن شرب الخمر. كثير من الناس لا يفهمون هذا، أن تارك الصلاة أعظم ذنبا من الزاني. كثير من المسلمين يقولون عندما تنصحهم في الصلاة يقول لك الله أنا قلبي طيب، أنا يعني إنسان الحمد لله أنا على خير، أنا لا أذني، أنا لا أشرب الخمر، أنا لا أسرق، نعم أنا لا أصلي ولكني لا أفعل هذه الأمور. فعندما تفاجئه بقولك إن تركك للصلاة أعظم من الزنا ينتصب، يعني يصيبه الرعب، ما يتصور هذا أن ترك الصلاة أعظم من الزنا، وأن ترك الصلاة أعظم من شرب الخمر، وأن ترك الصلاة أعظم من السرق، لا يتصور هذا. فإذا أنت فاجأته بالأعظم والأعظم، أن الذي يقول يا رسول الله أعظم ذنبا من ترك الصلاة وأعظم ذنبا من كل هذا، يفاجأ بهذا كلمة واحد يقول فقط يا محمد هل هذا يكون ذنبه أعظم من كل الذنوب؟ نعم، لأنه جعل محمدا صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في مرتبة لا تليق إلا بالله سبحانه وتعالى. وهذا يجرنا إلى تعريف الشرك. ما هو الشرك حتى نحذره؟ ما هو تعريف الشرك؟ هذا هو الذي سنتكلم عنه في الفقرة الآتية إن شاء الله.
الشيخ إخواني said, as it relates to the issues of the disobediences to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing that should be understood and warned against is the evil of shirk. It is the first thing that the Muslim, as it relates to the dhunub and the ma'asi, that he preoccupies himself. It is given priority. He protects himself from it, and he protects other people from it, from this ummah. That is as it relates to those things that have been prohibited. As for the Muslims, the Muslim ummah today, many of the people, they weigh the affairs, and when they weigh the affairs, they understand the affairs, the way that they weigh issues is not the Islamic way. It's not in accordance to the religion and the legislation of this deen. But instead what they use is they use scales that are determined based upon their culture, or they weigh the affairs based upon scales that come as a result of their desires or other than that. But all of the affairs should be weighed obviously according to the legislation and the religion. The Muslims, they do not know the severe danger of a shirk in its reality. They do not know that it is the single most greatest form of oppression and the single most kabira from the kabair, the greatest and most severest major sin. So I want to give you an example, and in this example inshallah I intend to clarify to you and to show you the danger of a shirk and how the people don't understand. Shaykh, he went on to say, if you were to ask someone from the Ummah of Al-Islam today, which of the two sins is greater? Which one is greater? For a person to make dua and he says, Ya Rasulullah, help me. Oh, Allah's Messenger, help me with this and assist me with that. He makes the ghawth and he asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come to his aid and to assist him in what he has no ability to do. That's a sin. Is that sin greater or the sin of a zina? If you ask the people this question, which sin is greater? The one who made dua to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the one who fell into a zina? Sheikh said, no doubt, both of these sins are major sins. As we mentioned before, the sins, they are of different levels and different degrees and shades. The kaba'ir even, the major sins themselves, are also of different levels and different grades and shades. But as it relates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to understand, and I reiterate, that every sin is serious. Every sin is serious, and it should be made to appear in your mind to be serious. And you should never intend to do a particular sin with the false understanding that it is not a major sin. If a person is going to sin, he doesn't think about, and he shouldn't think about so much, what is the sin that I'm doing? How am I doing the sin? But what he should preoccupy himself with is the thought of who he is sinning against. He is sinning against the Lord of all the worlds, the one who created everything, as he said in the Quran. He is the one who created you and fashioned you in due proportion. If it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who we are sinning against, then you would not be able to move. Then you would not be able to come or to go. You would not be able to eat. You would not be able to drink. You would not be able to go to the bathroom, whether it was to urinate or to defecate. Right now, there are some people who do not have the ability to urinate. They purify the impurities from their blood as a result of getting on a machine and using dialysis. Their kidneys have malfunctioned. So if one of them wanted to get his blood purified from the impurities that are harmful, he has to go to the hospital twice a week, in order to have his blood purified, in order to have his kidney clean. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said in the Quran, and every favor that is bestowed upon you is from Allah. And lo and behold, you begin to act. And when He takes it away from you, lo and behold, you realize the reality. The Shaykh said, when a person loses a ni'mah that Allah has bestowed upon him, that's when he recognizes the reality of the ni'mah that he has. When he loses it, that's when he truly understands and appreciates what it was that he had. When he loses it, like the ni'mah of having the ability to see. People don't realize its reality until it's lost, and then the person recognizes he has lost something. The ability to speak and to articulate and to be understood and heard. The ability to hear. No one knows the qima or the level, the price of a particular favor that Allah has given him until he loses it. So the Shaykh, he began to make dua for us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects the ni'mas and the blessings that He bestowed upon us, and that He causes them to be perpetual and not to stop them and to take them away. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla said, and if you thank me for what I've given you, if you thank me, I will increase you. And if you disbelieve, then verily my punishment is shadeed. So we thank Allah for the favors that He has bestowed upon us. So every sin, ikhwan, as it relates to Allah, it is azim because you have disobeyed the one who is azim. So we have to understand that in this issue of the example that we're given an example in where we're comparing sins and we're not minimizing either one of them. All of the sins are serious. So the example is, as we mentioned, between shirk and the other sins. Shirk compared to riba. Shirk compared to zina. Shirk compared to drinking khamr. The Shaykh said that the khamr is a kabira from the kabair. And I go even further to say that it is from the greatest of the kabair. It is from the greatest of the major sins. So who is worse off and which one is more severe? The one who makes dua and he says, Ya Rasulullah, help me, assist me. Or the one who says, Ya Isa, help me, assist me, purify me. Or the one who says, Ya Hussein, make me cure me from this issue. Shaykh said, no doubt. Making dua and calling on other than Allah Azza wa Jal is the most severest. Even if the one who is being called upon happens to be Jibreel, or Muhammad, Rasulullah, or Isa, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim. Even if it happens to be one of them, nonetheless, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is azam. He is greater and more exalted than all of them. And even though Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is exalted and beloved to us, still nonetheless, he is nothing in comparison to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So if a person said, Ya Rasulullah, if a person said, Ya Isa, give me the shifa. If a person said, Ya Ali, give me this, give me that, bestow me with this, bestow on me that. The Shaykh said, this is greater than making zina. And this is greater than the one who steals. And this is greater than the one who drinks khamr. And he partakes in taking intoxicants and narcotics. This is worse even than the one who abandons the salah. Leaving off the salah, ikhwan, is a major sin. It is even more greater than drinking khamr. Abandoning the salah, as we're going to explain later, inshallah, it is a major sin. And it is even greater than drinking khamr. A lot of the Muslims, ikhwan, you were to see them, and they were not practicing the deen correctly. For an example, they were doing certain aspects where they weren't practicing the deen correctly, and you wanted to come to give them nasiha. You wanted to come to advise them. The person would say, oh, my heart is pure, my heart is white, I don't make zina. The sheikh said, this individual leaves off the salah. So you come to advise him. You say, I don't make zina, my heart is pure, I don't fall into drinking khamr, I'm not a person who's an alcoholic, I don't do these things. The sheikh said, if you said to him, your abandoning the salah is greater than zina, your abandoning the salah is greater than drinking khamr, he's going to find it strange. Like, what do you mean it's greater than that? Because the issue of leaving the salah is a major crime. Nonetheless, in comparison to shirk, the shirk is the single most a'zam dhanb. It is the greatest sin that the person can fall into unconditionally. So we say, when a person calls out and he makes dua by saying, Ya Muhammad, this word that he makes, this dua that he makes, it is a great crime and a serious trespass. Why? Because he has made and given Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam a place that is not deserved by him. He has given him a place that is exclusively and particularly what is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, we want to explain what is the definition of a shirk.
ما هو تعريف الشرك حتى نحذره كيف نحذر شيئا ونحن لا نعرفه عندما تحذر من شيء لابد أن تصفه لابد أن تبينه لابد أن تبين معالمه حتى يفهم الناس ما الذي ينبغي عليهم أن يحذروا منه لأنهم قد يقعوا فيه وهم لا يعلمون أنه هو الذي حذرتهم منه لأنهم ما يعرفون ما هو الشرك ما هو الشرك الشرك على أحسن التعريفات هو تسوية غير الله بالله هذا هو الشرك تعريف الشرك تسوية غير الله بالله ولو في شيء واحد لا يلزم أن تسوي غير الله بالله من كل وجه وفي كل شيء تسوية غير الله بالله ولو في شيء ولو في جانب ولو في صفة ولو في مسألة واحدة نريد أن نتصور هذا لكن بعد أن نبين الدليل على هذا التعريف قد يقول قائل يا شيخ ما دليلك على هذا التعريف أن الشرك تسوية غير الله بالله هذا مذكور في القرآن الكريم قال الله سبحانه وتعالى عن المشركين أنفسهم قال عنهم إنهم يوم القيامة يقولون لشركائهم الذين كانوا يعبدونهم يقولون تالله يقسمون بالله وهذا يوم القيامة تالله إن كنا لفي ضلال مبين إذ نسويكم برب العالمين فالمشركون أنفسهم هم يعرفون الشرك هذا التعريف لأنهم أعرف الناس بالشرك هم الذين كانوا واقعين في الشرك فهم يقولون عن أنفسهم إنهم كانوا في الدنيا يسوون هؤلاء برب العالمين تالله إن كنا لفي ضلال مبين إذ نسويكم برب العالمين طيب إذا نحن الآن الشرك طبعا قد يعرف بتعريفات كثيرة لكن هذا أحسن التعريفات لأنه كما قلنا منصوص عليه في القرآن وإلا مثلا لو عرف أحد الشرك بأنه صرف شيء من العبادة لغير الله سبحانه وتعالى نفس الشيء. لو قال هو عبادة غير الله سبحانه وتعالى مع الله سبحانه نفس الشيء وهكذا. لكن هذا التعريف المختصر السهل البسيط هو أوضح وأجلى، لأنه نص القرآن: تالله إن كنا لفي ضلال مبين إذ نسويكم برب العالمين. هذا التعريف يشمل الشركين الأكبر والأصغر، كل ما هو شرك يدخل في هذا التعريف كما سيأتي بيانه إن شاء الله. تالله إن كنا لفي ضلال مبين إذ نسويكم برب العالمين. فالشرك هو تسوية غير الله بالله، هذا هو الشرك، تسوية غير الله بالله. ولهذا التعريف نحن نستطيع الآن أن نفهم ما هو الشرك. مثلا عندما نقارن نحن الآن بين الخالق الرب المنعم الذي له الصفات الأسماء الحسنى والصفات العلى، وبين المخلوق الضعيف الفقير المسكين، مهما كبر هذا المخلوق فهو في حق الله وفي جنب الله ضعيف. يا أيها الناس أنتم الفقراء إلى الله، محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم فقير إلى ربه، عيسى عليه السلام فقير إلى ربه، جبريل عليه السلام فقير إلى ربه، أي مخلوق هو فقير إلى الله ومحتاج إليه. والله يا أيها الناس أنتم الفقراء إلى الله، وماذا؟ والله غني عن العالمين. فالله عز وجل هو الغني وكل المخلوقات محتاجون إليه، مهما كان هذا المخلوق في المكانة، جبريل عليه السلام، الملائكة المقربون، الرسل والأنبياء الصالحون، كلهم فقراء إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. إذن هذا العبد عبد، هو عبد لله، هو عبد لله. قال تعالى: لن يستنكف المسيح أن يكون عبدا لله ولا الملائكة المقربون. لن يستنكف المسيح أن يكون عبدا لله والملائكة المقربون. ومن يستنكف عن عبادته ويستكبر فسيحشرهم إليه جميعا. طيب الآن لما نتصور هذا الأمر، كيف يحصل الشرك؟ كيف نسوي غير الله بالله؟ الله كبير والمخلوق صغير، الله غني والمخلوق فقير، الله عز وجل هو الأعلى وهو العلي وهو المتعال، الله سبحانه وتعالى هو الذي له الأسماء الحسنى والصفات العلى، والمخلوق متواضع، المخلوق متواضع. فالآن المشرك إما أن يصغر الله سبحانه وتعالى. كيف تحصل التسوية الآن؟ الشرك تسوية غير الله بالله، إما بتصغير الله سبحانه وتحقيره أو بتكبير المخلوق فوق قدره، يعني إما أن ننزل الأعلى وإما أن نرفع الأدنى، فبهذا تحصل التسوية. فالشرك يحصل وإما بتحقير الله وتصغيره أو بتكبير المخلوق وتعظيمه فوق قدره كمخلوق. إذن إما أن نرفع المخلوق وإما أن ننقص الخالق. الشرك إما بانتقاص الخالق وإما بالمبالغة في تعظيم المخلوق ورفعه فوق قدره. فمثلا عيسى عليه السلام عبد، نأتي نقول عيسى ليس عبدا، عيسى ابن الله، هنا رفعنا عيسى عليه السلام فوق رتبته التي هي العبودية وجعلناه ولدا لله سبحانه وتعالى، فبهذا نكون قد رفعنا عيسى عليه السلام وجعلناه ولدا لله. ومن كان ولدا لله فهو مساوي لله في بعض الأمور، لأن الابن يشابه أباه في أمور كثيرة. إذن أنت سويت عيسى بالله سبحانه وتعالى، شرك، هنا وقع الشرك. أنت عندما تقول عيسى ابن الله تكون قد سويته بالله سبحانه وتعالى من بعض الوجوه. نعم ليس الابن كالاب في كل شيء، ولكن الابن مماثل ومشابه لأبيه في كثير من المسائل، كما قال ذلك القائل: بأبيه اقتدى عدي في الكرم، ومن يشابه أبه فما ظلم. فعندما يشبه عدي والده حاتم الطائي يكون لأنه يشبهه في الكرم. حاتم الطائي العربي المشهور بالكرم ابنه عدي يعني يشبهه في الكرم. بأبيه اقتدى عدي في الكرم ومن يشابه أبه فما ظلم، أي الذي يشبه أباه لا يعاتب، لأنه لا بد أن يكون الإنسان فيه شبه بمن؟ بأبيه ولا شك. الشاهد: عندما ترفع عيسى عليه السلام إلى رتبة أنه ابن الله هذا شرك، عندما تقول هو الله هذا شرك أعظم. ولذلك ربنا كفر هؤلاء الذين قالوا هذه الكلمة وقالوا اتخذ الرحمن ولدا، لقد جئتم شيئا إدا عظيما، تكاد السماوات يتفطرن منه وتنشق الأرض وتخر الجبال هدا أن دعوا للرحمن ولدا وما ينبغي للرحمن أن يتخذ ولدا إن كل من في السماوات والأرض إلا آتي الرحمن عبدا لقد أحصاهم وعدهم عدا وكلهم آتيه يوم القيامة فردا. الذي قال عيسى ابن الله أشرك وسوى غير الله بالله من الجهتين، كيف رفع عيسى عليه السلام فوق قدره؟ فعيسى عليه السلام عبد الله ورسوله وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منه، لا نزيد عن ذلك، لا نقول إن الله حل فيه إنه ابن الله، نكون قد رفعنا عيسى عليه السلام فوق قدره، أيضا نكون قد انتقصنا الله سبحانه وتعالى، لأننا نحن نحتاج إلى الولد لأننا نموت. عندما يعرف أحدنا أنه كلنا ميتون، فنحن محتاجون إلى الأولاد، لأن الأولاد يخلدون ذكرنا بعدنا ويعيشون بعدنا ويكونون امتدادا لنا، فأنت محتاج إلى الولد لأنك فقير ولأنك ضعيف ولأنك ستموت. فهل الله عز وجل يموت؟ الله سبحانه لا يموت، هو الحي الذي لا يموت. هل الله عز وجل يحتاج إلى ولد؟ الله لا يحتاج إلى. إذن أنت انتقصت الله عندما قلت إنه له ولد، أنت انتقصت الله سبحانه وتعالى. عندما قلت إن الله محتاج إلى زوجة إلى صاحبة، انتقصت الله سبحانه وتعالى. إذن هنا بدأنا نفهم ما هو الشرك. مرة أخرى، الشرك هو تعريفه تسوية غير الله بالله، وهذا إما أن يكون بالغلو في المخلوق أو بانتقاص الله سبحانه وتعالى.
So the sheikh, he went on, Ikhwan, and he said, so how do we go about warning against a shirk? How do we go about taking upon this responsibility? Because if you want to warn about something or from something, you have to first know what it is. If you're going to warn the people about a particular thing, you have to explain to them what it is that you're warning them about and what it is they should avoid. Because if they don't know what it is possible that they will fall into that thing that you're warning about, or that particular thing that they should not be doing due to the fact that they're not aware of it. They don't have knowledge of it. So the Sheikh said that the shirk itself, the definition of it, there are multiple definitions that have been given for this particular issue, a shirk. He said, but the best definition that he knows of is making other than Allah equal to Allah. Making other than Allah equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is whether you make others equal to Allah in one particular thing. You do not necessarily have to make something equal to Allah from every angle and in every aspect. If someone made someone or something similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, equal to Allah in an issue, a mas'ala, or he made him equal to Allah in a characteristic, or he made him equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in an attribution, then this is all considered to be shirk. The person may say, well, where is the dalil that you're using, that you have to give this definition? Where's the dalil for that? The shaykh said, the dalil for that comes to us from the Quran. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the situation with the mushrikeen and what's going to happen and what they're going to say, Yawmul Qiyamah. They are the ones who gave us the understanding that the correct and the best definition of a shirk is making something or someone equal to Allah. Allah ta'ala said in the Quran about the statement of the mushrikeen that will be said, Yawmul Qiyamah. They swore by Allah and said, Tallahi. They swore by Allah. By Allah. And then they went on to make their statement. Verily we were in manifest dalal. We were clearly astray. When we made you people equal to the Lord of all the worlds. So they themselves used the word of taswiyah. They said, Tallahi, we swear by Allah. Verily we were manifestly astray. When we made you equal, when we made you similar, we made you equal to the Lord of all of the worlds. The Shaykh said, these people, they used to fall into shirk themselves. So they are the people who know shirk and its definition and what it means. And they know what it means. And they know that the issue of a shirk and its definition, there are a number of definitions that the scholars have given, a lot of definitions. He said, but the one that was given previously, the reason why he said it is the best definition is because it is a definition that comes to us from the source, from the Quran itself. So therefore, as a result of that, it is the best definition. He said it is also true, one of the definitions of shirk is to do ibadah for other than Allah. To do your ibadah and you do it for other than Allah. He said that is a true definition. And another definition is to have worship for other than Allah. He said all of that is true. But again, the best definition is the one that comes from the Quran itself, the one that has a text or a nas connected to it, what the Quran has explained. As it relates to this ayah of the mushrikeen, when they said they were in manifest error when they made the people equal to Allah, the Shaykh said this definition, it encompasses and includes both types of shirk. It includes the shirk that is the major one and the shirk that is the minor one. That when you make someone equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it can be in the major or in the minor shirk. So for that reason, this particular definition is the one that he sees as being the best one. From this definition, we come to understand what is shirk and its reality. So, for an example, when we compare the Creator, who is the Khaliq, and the Mun'im, Allah is the one who bestows the ni'mah on a person. Allah Ta'ala, He has names and attributes that are exalted. So when we compare Him with the creation, and the creation is weak, then we're going to have issues. As it relates to the creation, it's been established, as Allah said in the Quran, you people are impoverished in comparison to Allah. You are fuqara. You people are impoverished. That's what the ayah said. So, whether you are Muhammad, whether you are Isa, whether you are Jibreel, all of you are faqir. And all of these creations are in need of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That's why the ayah is, you are the fuqara to Allah. And then the next part of the ayah said, and Allah is ghani. Allah is not in need of the alameen. Allah is not in need. You people are poor to Allah, and Allah is not in need of the creation. So therefore, ikhwan, kullu, every created thing is in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it is Jibreel, whether it is other malaika al-muqarrabun, those other close major malaika who are close to Allah, whether it's any prophet or messenger, or a person who is righteous. They are all in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the slave, al-abd, he is the slave of Allah, and he should be comfortable and satisfied with being considered to be the slave of Allah, as Allah said in the Quran. Al-Masih, Isa ibn Maryam, Al-Masih, he does not have a problem. He is not arrogant. He doesn't have a problem with being a slave. Nor do the malaika al-muqarrabun. Nor do the close malaika, the major malaika. They don't have a problem with being slaves to Allah. And whoever has a problem with it, and he has kibr, Allah will gather them all up together. So this ayah proves that there's nothing wrong with being a slave, and if you are the slave, you are weak. So the Shaykh, he went on to say that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he is kabir, and the creation, they are saghir. Allah is exalted, and the creation, the created thing, they are saghir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rich, he's ghani, and the creation, they are poor and in need. Allah is not in need, and he's self-sufficient, whereas they are in need. Allah is also high, he is a'la, and he is muta'al, he is above and high, and he has the asma, the names and the attributes that are beautiful and exalted, whereas the human being is humble, and the human being is down in comparison. So ikhwani, the mushrik, the problem with him is that he has taken Allah Azza wa Jalla. He has made Allah small and downsized Allah. Or he has looked at the human being or the created thing, and he made the created thing, which is small, and he has glorified it and made it big. So a shirk, how does it happen and what is it? A shirk is when an individual looks at Allah and he takes Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Allah, as it was mentioned, he is big, he is great. The person takes Allah and he shrinks him and downsizes him and brings him lower where he doesn't deserve. And then in contrast, the person, he makes bigger, more exalted, the one who is low, which is the creation, and he makes him big as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his place is to be big. Isa ibn Maryam, he is a slave. And he is small, as we mentioned, because he's a slave. But when the person says he's Ibn Allah, he's the son of Allah, they have raised him above the position that he deserves. So this is shirk. This is not acceptable. Why? Because if Allah ta'ala had a son, then the son is going to resemble Allah in certain aspects of his existence, because the son is similar to his father. He may not be similar to the father in every aspect of his existence, but in many aspects, they're going to be similar. And that's why the poet, he made a line of poetry that was talking about Adi. Adi was the son of Hatim al-Ta'i, who was known to the Arabs for being extremely generous. So his son Adi, they said in this line of poetry, Adi followed his father in his generosity. And there is no blame on the son when he follows the father. So the Shaykh used that line of poetry to make the point, if you say that Isa is the Ibn of Allah, you have made him big and you made Allah small. You made Isa big and you made Allah small, because there has to be some comparison between the father and the son. He also said another example of that. Those people say he's Ibn Allah. Some other people come and say that Isa ibn Maryam, he is Allah. Isa is Allah. He is a lie. The one who makes this statement is even worse than Ibn Allah. When you make him, he is Allah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made takfir of those people. He said that those people were disbelievers who said that statement. And then the Shaykh, he read the ayat of the Quran, and they say that Ar-Rahman, he has taken a son. Verily they have come with a tremendous statement. A statement that the heavens are about to rend asunder and the earth is about to also split. The heavens are about to split and the earth is about to rend asunder and the mountains are about to crumble. That they would say that Ar-Rahman, Allah, has a son. And it is not befitting for Ar-Rahman to have a son. He is the one that has created that everyone in the heavens and the earth will come to him as an abd. Allah has counted all of them in precision. And they will come yawmul qiyamah individually. So the Shaykh went on to say, Ikhwan, what we have to do is, we cannot go overboard. We say that Isa ibn Isa is not the Ibn of Allah. He is not Allah, but we say he is the Kalima. He is the Kalima that Allah Ta'ala threw or put on Maryam. We don't say that Allah went inside of Maryam and is a part of that. No. Isa is the Kalima that Allah gave. He is the Kalima of Allah and the Ruh, the Spirit from him. So ikhwan, it is making something, someone equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that can be done in two ways, as we mentioned. One way is to have ghulum, to have excessive, to go overboard, to be extreme as it relates to the creation. To go overboard and have ghulum. And the other one is to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala small, to decrease how the position of Allah is. So it is all ibadah that is done to other than Allah. That is a statement that is authentic and true. But as we see, this is the definition which is the most appropriate.
نحن إن شاء الله مواصلون حتى الساعة السادسة بإذن الله في تتمة لهذا الأمر في سؤال وجواب. لكننا قد نأخذ راحة بسيطة يعني قصيرة 5 دقائق 10 دقائق من أجل من أراد أن يستريح أو أن يذهب إلى دورة المياه أو نحو ذلك أو يشرب شيئا ثم نعود إن شاء الله. لكننا نتم أولا هذه المحاضرة التي هي في التحذير من الشرك وسائر أنواع المعاصي. كثير من المسلمين لا يغضبون للشرك بالله عز وجل بقدر ما يغضبون لما هو دونه من الظلم والمعاصي. وعلى سبيل المثال عندما حصل من الجنود المحتلين للعراق إهانة للمساجين غضب العالم كله، بينما لم يغضبوا لكون هؤلاء يدعون لله الولد والصاحبة ولا ينظرون لهذه المسألة من الأصل. ظلم هؤلاء بإهانة الله أعظم من ظلمهم بإهانة هؤلاء المساجين. هؤلاء يهينون الله سبحانه وتعالى، يدعون له الولد، وبعضهم لا يؤمن بالله أصلا، لا يؤمن بوجود الله من البداية، فإهانتهم لرب العالمين أعظم من إهانتهم للمخلوقين. وإن كان هذا ظلما، إن كانت الإهانة للمخلوقين ظلما، فإن إهانة الله أعظم ظلما. وقد بين نبينا صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في الحديث الصحيح قال: ما أحد أصبر على أذى من الله ما أحد أصبر على أذى سمعه من الله سبحانه وتعالى، إنهم يدعون له الولد وهو يرزقهم ويعافيهم. فكما سمعتم في القرآن عظم هذه الكلمة، وقالوا اتخذ الرحمن ولدا، إهانة لرب العالمين، انتقاص لله سبحانه. ومع ذلك نحن لا نشعر بعظم هذا الذنب. لا بد أن نعظم هذه المسألة، لا بد من الحذر من الشرك والتحذير من الشرك وبيان خطر الشرك وأنه أعظم الظلم على الإطلاق. كما قال لقمان لابنه: يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك له ظلم عظيم. ونفس ما قلناه في تعريف الشرك مستفيدين إياه من القرآن أيضا نستفيده من الحديث الصحيح الذي عند البخاري ومسلم في صحيحهما من حديث ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال يا رسول الله أي الذنب أعظم؟ قال أن تجعل لله ندا وهو خلقك، والند هو المساوي والمكافئ والمثيل والمشابه. فهذا نفس المعنى الموجود في القرآن، فالله إن كنا لفي ضلال مبين إذ نسويكم برب العالمين، هو موجود في السنة أن تجعل لله ندا وهو خلقك. فالند هو المكافئ والمماثل والمشابه والمقارب والمساوي، والناس يستعملون هذه الكلمة حتى هذه اللحظة حتى في مباريات كرة القدم، يقولون هذا الفريق كان ندا للفريق الآخر، يعني كان مكافئا له في القوة، كان قادرا على مقاومته، كان مساويا له في يعني الوقوف ضده وهكذا. فالندية هي المكافأة والمقاربة والمشابهة والمماثلة والمساواة. تالله إن كنا لفي ضلال مبين إذ نسويكم برب العالمين. وفي الحديث أن تجعل لله ندا وهو خلقك، هذا جواب على أي سؤال، أي الذنب أعظم؟ إذن ظلم الناس بعضهم لبعض ظلم، لكن ظلم الناس بأن يجعلوا لله ندا أعظم. يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. وكما نفهم هذه القضية التسوية، تسوية غير الله بالله في الشرك الأكبر، نفهمها أيضا في الشرك الأصغر، الحالف، الحالف بالله نوع من التعظيم. من المعظم التعظيم المطلق؟ الله سبحانه وتعالى. عندما تقسم بمخلوق، تقسم بالكعبة والكعبة والنبي والنعمة وحياة ولدي وحياة أبي والحسين ورأس الحسين، كثير من الناس يحلفون بغير الله سبحانه وتعالى، هنا كأنهم سووا غير الله بالله في هذا التعظيم المطلق. الحالف تعظيم مطلق، فعندما يأتون بمخلوق يحلفون به يكونون قد سووا هذا المخلوق بالله سبحانه وتعالى في مسألة الحالف، وهذا نوع من أنواع الشرك. فتعريف الشرك يشمل كما قلنا الشركين الأكبر والأصغر، وكما ينبغي الحذر من الشرك والتحذير منه ينبغي الحذر والتحذير من سائر المعاصي كما قلنا في بداية المحاضرة. وبهذا نختم إن شاء الله هذه المحاضرة، ثم بعدها نأخذ ولو راحة بسيطة 5 دقائق 10 دقائق، ثم نعود ونبدأ فقرة في الإجابة على الأسئلة إلى الساعة 6 إن شاء الله.
Okay, إخواني إن شاء الله we're going to continue until 6 o'clock. But we're going to do this last part right here to complete this dars, this lecture. And then after the completion of the lecture, we're going to have about 5 or 10 minutes so that you can rest, go rejuvenate yourselves, go to the bathroom, do what you need to do. And then when you come back after that, inshallah, we'll answer the questions that you have up until 6 o'clock, بإذن الله تعالى وعوني. The Sheikh said, as it relates to warning about the evils of ash-shirk, we find that many of the people, many of the Muslims, they do not become angry as a result of the shirk that people fall into, as they become angry for other things that they become angry from, from the dhunub of people. So many of the Muslims, they become angry when they see people falling into the dhunub and ma'asi, rightly so. But we don't see them becoming angry when they see people fall into shirk the same level and degree as they become angry when people fall into sins that are lesser than shirk. And this is an indication of our not understanding this issue. For an example, recently we saw the soldiers who oppressed the Iraqi prisoners. They oppressed them. They were prisoners, and those prisoners were oppressed. The whole dunya, you know, the people became mad and they became upset and they became angry and agitated as a result of the oppression that was exacted upon those defenseless prisoners. The whole world, the Sheikh said, and rightly so. But the people who oppressed them, those people who oppressed them, they worship other than Allah. They make shirk with Allah to the point that some of them do not even believe in the existence of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They worship other than Allah, and some of them deny the existence of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and yet we don't find the people becoming angry at that issue, the way they became angry at the oppression that they made on those people. The Shaykh said, "Naam, it is a fact that making the ihana, those soldiers, what they did against the prisoners, that's ihana, broke those people down and made them lowly." Shaykh said that zulm is ihana and it's not acceptable. But also to make the ihana of Allah, to bring Allah down, Allah is magnificent, to bring Him down is a greater example and a greater ihana, but we don't find the people becoming angry. And it is true what the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this issue, in an authentic hadith, when he said, "There is no one who has more sabr. There is no one who has more sabr than Allah. There is no one who has more sabr on something that they heard from other people, from others, from annoyance, from other. When you hear something that you don't like, something that bothers you." No one has more sabr than Allah. They call on other than Him, and yet He's the one who provides for them, and He is the one who gives them good help. You heard the ayah that we read before, and they say that Ar-Rahman has taken a son. Allah provides for them, and Allah gives them good help, and they turn around and they make a statement like that. But Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He is patient with them. The Shaykh went on to say, it is like the statement of Luqman when he said to his son, "Oh my son, do not make shirk, for verily shirk is a manifest oppression." And also in the Sahihain, Al-Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the Prophet was asked, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Which sin is the greatest sin?" And the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "That you will make a nid with Allah, and He is the one who created you." The Shaykh went on to explain a niddiyah and what it is. What is a nid? That you make a nid with Allah. It is, you make a partner with Allah. You make someone equal to Allah. The Shaykh said, so this hadith is similar to the ayah that we mentioned in the Quran, when the mushrikun will say, "Yawm al-qiyamah tallahi, verily we were in manifest error, when we made a taswiya, when we made you the same with the Lord of all the worlds." So, as we mentioned, the definition of shirk is making someone equal with Allah, and this shirk, it can and it does encompass both types of shirk, al-akbar and al-asghar. Like al-halq, to swear by Allah. When you swear by Allah, you make the ta'zeem of Allah, you glorify Him. But there are people who come and they swear by the Kaaba, or they swear by the Nabi, or they swear by the life of their father, or the life of their son, or they swear by Hussein, or by the head of Hussein. Shaykh said, all of this is from the way of the shirk. It can be the shirk al-asghar, the small one, because the ta'rif or the meaning of the shirk, it implies both of those. So now we're going to take a break, inshallah, and then when you come back, we'll address your questions.
Inshallah, يمكن أن نعود في الرابعة, يعني ممكن ربع ساعة, ممكن.